Welcome everybody to the Your Gifts conference call. I want to thank you all for being on the call. This is going to be a major call because I'm going to, you know, give some announcements on some things. And so I just want to appreciate everybody who's come on the line. I want to give a special shout out to Kathleen, who's calling from the UK. I'm going to give a couple of people a little bit more time to get on the call. I think I see Chanel on the call. Chanel, is that you out in Waco?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting ready.
Yes, sir. Getting ready to be renewed.
You know, I've heard some amazing, I thank God for the friends I have, some amazing testimonies. You know, I got friends, you know, telling me, you know, I'm going to be like the $6 million man and all this stuff. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And so I want to use this call today because I want to really get into some more nuanced and deeply faceted parts of operating in your gift. I think a lot of times, and rightfully so, we've sort of articulated, you know, the importance of operating in your gift, what it means to other individuals, what it means to you in terms of fulfillment and being purpose-driven. But I really want to, you know, use my own personal experience to sort of just show you how knowing, mastering, and operating your gift can really give you purpose and drive even in the midst of adversity. So I don't know if any of you know, but I'm going to be having major open heart surgery on Thursday. So I want to share with you some lessons that I've learned from this and how it has sort of given me a lot of clarity and a lot of, what's the word I want to use? Give me a lot of clarity and a lot of focus and how, you know, knowing what I'm here to do and what my purpose is in life, knowing it, has really, really, really been has been enlightening. So, you know, when you hear about open heart surgery, most people they're like aghast, and understandably so. It's an extremely invasive procedure, and you know there is some risk involved in it, but. But it's brought me a lot of clarity. And as I was talking to Kathleen before the call started, you know, we just sort of were conversing about some of the things that I shared with her. And so the first thing I wanted to share is just about how knowing your gift and mastering and operating in it gives you a different approach and a different attitude about adversity when you experience it. So what I found is that a lot of times when people are faced with adversity, if they don't have a real tangible reason for living, then they struggle sometimes when there is adversity in their life and it becomes what they would call unbearable. So for me, you know, just knowing, being a gift coach, doing the things that I've been doing with people and hearing people, you know, tell me about the benefits that I've had in their lives, it just changed my whole personality and mentality about this surgery. Full disclosure and to be honest, the doctor sort of gave me this option early on, and if I can be honest, I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to do it. And the reason why I didn't want to do it was really based in, fear. Not fear of worry about surgery, but just, okay, you guys are going to open my chest up and do this and do that. And, it just seemed like a lot. And when given the option between that and a lesser invasive option, I took the lesser invasive option. And so when I look back on that decision, I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong. What I am going to say, however, is that my drive to live was, I guess, standard, but not what it is now. Like right now, I'm so driven, I'm so alive, I'm so pumped and geeked that the only thing I was concerned about with, in terms of my options this time was what option would give me the best opportunity to be alive versus living. So let me explain that. There are some options that can keep you alive, but they won't mean that you will be alive while you're living. In other words, these will simply, keep the blood flowing in it, but, you'll be walking at a really diminished impact or effect. And once again, none of this is an exact science, so I'm not saying one way or the other. But what I am saying is that when I was making my decision, I wanted the option that I felt would give me the best option to just be free to live fully, unencumbered. And so when I looked at all the information, the bypass surgery made the most sense. And so I want to talk about that because I want to talk about when we make decisions relative to adversity, what drives us? Is it fear or is it the outcome? Are we willing to go through pain or a struggle for a better outcome or go through less pain? Or less struggle in order to get an average or mediocre outcome. So, as we've been doing with the podcast lately, I want the podcast to be really more interactive. So, I want to open that up to the audience to sort of get your feeling. I don't know if you if I need to repeat it. Let me know if there's a piece that you didn't get. But I want to get your feedback just from what I've said to sort of give me your ideas about dealing with adversity and doing so in a way where you feel you've had adversity. How did you deal with it? Did you walk in victory? I want you to share with the audience both your concerns, your fears, and your triumphs. So I'm opening up the call.
Hey, what's up, buddy? This is AJ.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good, bro. Good. Well, I'll chime in, man. As far as adversity is concerned, I think the biggest realization for me is to understand that it's part of life, number one. And so when you understand that, adversity is something that you have to deal with, you're mentally and emotionally more prepared for it, although you can never be 100% prepared. And then also, for me, the biggest part of feeling accomplished is to know that the adversity did not shut me down. Although, you may not fare the way you want to, or you may not have the best outcome, the fact that you're still making forward progress in spite of adversity or once you walk through adversity is always an encouragement to me, to know that, I'm strong enough or I'm relying on others or I have some type of support system that never allows me to fall completely. So I just throw that out there on the table.
Oh, yeah, that was good, man. That was good. And Adrian, it's good that I appreciate you getting on the call because, Adrian, you're one of those guys that I'm not sure there's a single thing you leave on the table in terms of, I don't think, when you're old and gray, I don't think you're going to sit back and say, I should have done this or I should have done that. I just don't see that in your card. So I really appreciate you sharing that approach because, you know, I know that you work hard to make sure that you're doing the thing you were created to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I'm trying.
And so I think that you articulating that just brings home, and that's really the part I want to bring home to people, is that the level and the amount of, what's the word I want to use? The level and the amount of commitment that you have to living also helps you have a healthy approach to adversity, right?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's important. You definitely have to identify what in your life is worth living for in spite of anything that you go through. You know, like for me, it's my, you know, my son and making sure I, you know, provide a good example for him. So whatever else I go through, my goal is to shelter him from it. And one of the best ways to shelter him from it for me is to resolve it quickly. And so that's my motivation to fight through adversity.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Kathleen, I want to sort of open up what we talked about because I was explaining. This is another thing that I want people to really understand is when you have purpose, when you're operating in gift, when you know, when there's clarity about your life, it gives you a different type of focus. So we were just talking about how, you know, most, if you look at the statistics, most people who have the kind of surgery that I'm having usually have that type of procedure because of an emergency. They've had a heart attack. And so, you know, one of the things about, you know, this procedure that I'm having, it's an elective procedure. It's not something that happened because I had a heart attack or anything like that. It happened because I'm very acute. I'm acutely aware of my health. I understand the importance of my health, and so I actively operate in a more preventive manner. The analogy that I use is, there's two ways you can find out your car needs work. You can either break down on the side of the road and be stranded, or you can hear the warning signs and hear the issues that are that give you indication that there's a problem and go to the mechanic ahead of time. Because that's basically what I've done is I went to the mechanic ahead of time and he said, your water pump is broke. You understand what I'm saying? Now, most people, they go and they say, well, how much it costs to fix my water pump? And if the car's still driving, some people will drive off the lot with the water pump messed up. And so, Kathleen, can you sort of articulate, because there's something Kathleen shared that I think is important for people to understand that I thought was striking. And Kathleen, share what you shared with me about, and I hope she's still there, about that when you were talking about prostate cancer, which, you know, I've happened to also been victorious over, about how men of color are twice as likely to have it or die from it or whatever the case may be. Can you share a little bit what we talked about, Kathleen?
Yes, I can. Hi, everyone. Basically, here in the UK, prostate cancer is, you know, rife in our Black community, and even more so than counterparts in the Caucasian community. But the thing is that a lot of times when there is an issue, and you know, men know that there's an issue, they don't say, and you know, they may not even go to the doctors, but they certainly won't even say anything to their partners. And that's something that there's organizations that have been trying to combat that and change that, because for some reason they just, you know, I think it's a combination of fear and also, you know, our community as well, which is sort of from the Caribbean, is can be very closed, you know, in certain areas, and that is one of them when it comes to sort of male health. So, and, you know, and so then therefore you get young guys who, you know, perhaps could have been saved or could have actually, you know, had treatment, had advice or something, saying nothing. And then when it's too late, then they're wanting sort of advice or help. And it's just sad, really, that would happen. I know of, you know, a few that's happened too. So it's just sad, really, that that something that could be prevented because of fear or not being open, you know, because sometimes we don't want to be open, because I know that I've been like that myself, in that there's certain things that I don't want to say. I thought about it today, in fact. You know, one thing in particular, and I'm like, I don't really want to say that. But then on the other side of things, I think, well, if I don't, that could help someone. You know, the fact that, you know, whatever I'm dealing with, it may be something that's quite personal. You know, as Patrick was saying, as a surgery and something that's really, really kind of personal. And sometimes people don't want to open up about that. That's another thing in my community here, when cancer is rife in the community, and that's something that is not spoken about as well. It's almost like it's a shame. It's a shame to be able to speak about it, to have it, or you know, and therefore people don't say anything. And sometimes what we go through is we go through that. Who knows? It may actually help someone. If we speak about it, it could help someone to have the courage to go and get themselves checked. Could help someone to speak about it to someone in confidence. But I really commend you, Patrick, for coming out and speaking so frankly, because it's really kind of helped me to look at my own self. As I say, even today, I was thinking, oh, you know, because basically for me, I might as well jump in. can you hear me okay?
Yes,
we can.
Can
you hear me okay?
Yep. Yeah, we can hear you great.
Okay.
Can you hear us? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So last year, I was basically diagnosed with diabetes, and it's something that runs on my father's side and also my mother's side of the family. And I, you know, the first basically thing that I was offered was medication, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do. And because basically I could control it on diet, but it's not something that the doctors really, really want. So I decided that I was going to do something differently. And even though I had opposition from my physician and the nurses, etc., I knew enough to know that I can do something about it, and I don't have to go a certain route, and that was medication. It wasn't really what was in line with what I, my own values and what I feel, etc. You see, so I started to do some things differently within my own life in terms of my own, the way that I was taking care of myself. I began to take charge of that, began to eat differently, exercise, lose weight, all that sort of thing. And having gone back to the doctors now, I'm really shocked and saying, well, you know, what have you been doing? You know, that so surprised that at the readings, because obviously I have to go back on a regular basis to get checked. And they were surprised. And, you know, and I'm struggling with it because I'm thinking, well, just today, I mean, it's just amazing that I'm on the call tonight, because I really wanted to be on the call for some reason, but that thought was coming to me today that it's not about me. I could actually perhaps start a blog or do something that is going to actually help someone else, that, you know, something that of what I was doing and the lifestyle changes and the mental changes, the mindset and so forth that I've been going through can actually help someone else. And as I say, I really commend Patrick, you know, for being so frank and so open and being so personal, because I think that it takes a lot to be able to do that. And we never know what can actually help someone, what word can help someone, what, you know, to deal with whatever it is that they may be going through, because somebody else may be going through the same thing, but are actually having actually fearful and thinking the worst and just not having the mindset to be able to go through with such a surgery. So I'm definitely taking and learning something from the call today in the courage that you're displaying. Now, thank you for that.
Kathleen, thank you. Thank you so
Kathleen,
much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Oh, it sounds like you got a little... I thought we had an echo. But Kathleen, thank you for sharing that, because I wanted everybody to hear, you know, what Kathleen was sharing. We sort of talked earlier, because I want to make a correlation between the bent, you know, that I'm dealing with, and just also that correlation between your gift, because I understanding what my gift was motivates me and drives me to have a call like this, right? Because not only do I want to help people discover their gifts, but I also believe that, because for me, this really is about saving lives, whether it's saving your life in terms of your calling, or saving your life in terms of your health, or saving your life in terms of your spirit. That's really ultimately what I realize drives me. So, you know, the first thing I asked myself when I started have to go down this path of dealing with these heart issues is, you know, what is the purpose, you know, God, you want to fulfill in this? And so I hope not only that I can be a conduit to people being able to discover their gifts, but I want you to be able to be in a position that whatever life brings you, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you are empowered and enabled to live a life that has fulfillment. Because here's the problem. The problem is that most people think that the path to fulfillment is a yellow brick road, when in actuality it's a thorny road. It's a dirt road. You know what I mean? So it's never a nice, you know, paved asphalt highway. But I want my co-hosts and and co-speakers for the Your Gifts Conference, Milton Holt. I really wanted to make sure we talked today because really what Milton is going to be bringing to the conference, you know, is part of what has helped me sort of make a decision about how I want to deal with this. Now, we come from a common community, so the things that he talks about in terms of strategy and all these other things are sort of second nature to me and him and to Kim and Alan, the Power Business Couple, and a lot of my friends on the call, Yvette and Derek, who all come from the same faith community. But I want to sort of have a back and forth between he and I, because the decisions I've made, watch this, having bypass surgery, because let me be clear, I'm not having singular, double, or triple. I'm having quadruple bypass surgery. And so that's not, quote, unquote, a winning hand. Most people, if they get that hand, if it was poker, they would throw that hand back. But me and Milton are sort of going to talk about how you take even a struggle like this, watch this, and turn it into a winning hand, because I not only want you to see how we use this adversity to do that, but you can also use that same adversity to help you get some kind of clarity and fulfillment about your gift also. So, Milton, you know, let's, you know, me and you talked about it. You know, this is my prayer partner, so. Of course, if I'm going through something like this, he's going to be, you know, heavily involved, if nothing else, to pray for me. But, you know, I sort of, let me just sort of go back and forth with you a little bit about this, because once I found out, there are a couple of things Milton said that he doesn't know, but there were a couple of things he said that sort of gave me clarity. So the first thing he said, and sometimes he doesn't say it, but I want to make sure he says it. This is the first thing he said. He said, when you get your hand, the first thing you do is lay your cards out and look at your hand. See, a lot of people, they get a diagnosis like mine, and they throw the hand in the trash and start running down the street.
True that.
Why do that? You need to take your hand, you need to lay it out, and you need to look at your cards that you dealt. Because whether you win or not is not always dependent on what cards you dealt. It's all dependent on what?
The strategy you use.
That's right. That's right. And your strategy you use, what they go ahead and say, you're about to say, go ahead. How you play the hand? How you play the hand that you got?
Well, Pete, I just want to jump in for a minute because what I love about you know, he could be sitting around murmuring and crying and, you know, and he don't need those kind of people around him because it's amazing. But the commonality that he has and what he's dealing with, see, I take back what I was dealing with, and although Pete is going through a
different
situation,
come on now.
When you are faced with a giant situation in your hand, how are you going to deal with it? I was faced with the FBI trying to lock me up, and I really didn't believe that
you had a chance.
I had a chance to escape. Now, and I know what they had on me. I had done.
So they had all the cards.
They had the cards.
And they knew they had.
And they knew they had the cards. But they didn't know who had issued me the cards. Come on, man. See, I had already changed hands because I was depending on my hand, and I'm just telling y'all, this is a true story. I had to solely submit myself to the Lord and totally trust him. When he say trust in him with all your heart, I had to totally trust him that he could really take me. Now this is what y'all got to understand. While I was going through it, I still had thoughts in my mind of giving up and committing suicide and just saying, look, I don't want to go through all that. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail. But I had to believe that he was changing hands. He was taking a hand that I was playing and making that hand a good hand to work out for my situation. And that's the same thing that Pete understands about this procedure. Mm-hmm. All God is doing now is making his body to the place where he can get this gift that people need to hear in their ears.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful testimony,
too. Come on, man.
That's it. See, now, when you play cards sometimes, the reason why you play it, the reason why you play it bad is because you worry too much about the cards in other people's hands. That's really the problem. And I'm playing the cards in my hand. And so, you know, being a gift card. Listen, I do not believe God would have me get to this place in my life to then take me out of here.
That's right.
Woo! Come on. I don't believe that. So I'm telling you, when I go up there,
right,
I'm going to lay down on that gurney like I'm in a lounge chair. Come on. And listen, the only person I'm going to be, there are two people I'm going to be focused on, the surgeon and the anesthesiologist. Yeah. Both of them need to be on that game.
Yes, sir.
I don't need you to give me too little anesthesia. Too much. I need you to be on your game. See, and this is what we're talking about strategy. I don't let people, I trust in the Lord with all my heart.
Come on, man.
But these surgeons, you best know, I know they resume. I know who they are. I know what they records are. I know what the surgeon did, the hospital, the whole nine yards. I know. Let me tell y'all something. There's a reason why I'm in D.C. and I'm not in Houston.
Woo!
Come on, man.
Listen,
y'all need to hear. Houston is the world's largest medical center. The entire city is a medical mecca. And there might be some great people there can do the surgery, but the ones I was dealing with, you understand what I'm saying? So here's the deal. I'm not saying they didn't have great people there, but I had to go to the last place that I had been where the food was good. You understand what I'm saying? So listen, my cardiology team, I know them.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I know these people. So I'm trying to explain to y'all something, that a lot of times adversity is about growth. It's about you developing and becoming a better individual. So God is using this process to help me be a better person. Watch this. But watch this. If you're not functioning in your gift and you're operating outside of your gift and you're not doing the things, it is very hard for you to really get into this whole divine space and divine power. Because if a hammer is being used as a doorstop, it doesn't have as much impact as it would have if it was being used to build a house. But it can do both.
Come on, y'all.
I hope y'all heard that. You can stop a door with a hammer.
Come on, man.
But that's not what it was meant for. And a lot of people are missing this call, and y'all missing something. That's why I'm glad
I'm gonna record it, and I need y'all to make sure you let people know they need to listen to this talk. Because for real, I don't have to ask you whether what I'm saying is the truth. I know it's the truth. Because here's the deal. When the person who created the hammer created it, the door was never in the equation. He never thought about the door. He only thought about the houses, the structures, the nails, and the wood. So everything about the hammer that created the head of it, the bend, the length of it, all of it is for one thing and one thing only, and that is to apply pressure to the nail. That's it. And if you ain't doing that, you're not doing what you were created to do. And watch this. A hammer's life expectancy is all different. Listen, if a hammer's used for a doorstop, it don't have a long expectant lifestyle because anything can stop a door. So you could take the hammer and it might slide off the door and somebody put something else there and now the hammer, you know, in the trash can.
Right.
But a hammer that's being used to hit nails, see, now that finds itself in a toolbox. That hammer is used for a long time. I still got the hammer that I had when I bought the house. I bought 20-some years ago. Why? Because it was being used for the purpose. But I don't remember the last time I seen the dope stop I used.
That's right.
You know, because I used everything to do that. Paper, you know what I'm saying? Dresser, end table, whatever to hold the door. So my point to y'all is be encouraged. Cause I'm speaking it right now that I'm gonna be way better Friday than I was Thursday.
Come on now.
Be way better. I'm gonna be way better. And I'm saying that to you not to talk about myself, but to encourage y'all. That's the purpose of this call. This is the year, this 2017 is the year of your gift. This is about people operating their gift, getting their purpose, making sure they're in the pocket of what they're supposed to be doing. I can't tell y'all, Adrian, let me tell you something. I've been knowing Adrian. Adrian, how long have you been knowing? We've been knowing each other 20 years. Has it been 20?
It's just going on, man, close to it.
It's going on 20. Let me tell y'all something. From the day I met Adrian, Adrian been living free, like a free bird. I mean, from day one. You know, if you didn't know Adrian and you just looked at what Adrian did, you sway. You wouldn't know who he is. This dude goes and lives his life to the fullest.
I try.
And you can't do the things he's doing that you fear.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, oh, come on, y'all. You can't live full if you live in fear. You can't be alive if you are concerned about dying. Come on, y'all. That's the problem with people. They spend more of their time trying to make sure they don't die instead of making sure they live.
When dying is inevitable, and living is a choice.
Boy, you gonna make me? Did y'all hear that? Y'all need to put that on for real.
Dying
is inevitable, but living is a choice. Come on, y'all.
That's true. That's a good one.
Was that Alan Andrews?
Yes, ma'am. That's Alan Andrews.
Okay.
Hello,
stars.
What's that?
Hey, TJ, I know you out there, man. I know you ain't gonna listen. Hey, Peanut Butter Jelly, I ain't gonna let you just be on the call and not say nothing because I know you ready to drop knowledge.
What'd you say?
I say, TJ, you know I ain't gonna let you just be on the call and not drop any knowledge.
I actually just tuned in a couple minutes ago, Pat. I was walking in the store. I was trying to catch up with what the flow of the conversation was. I heard something about the FBI and something, but
yeah, we were talking about the the gist of the conversation, man, is I just talk about what I'm going through with this surgery, and just trying to encourage people. I don't want you know, my concern is that people hear about the surgery and then they use negative events to be negative and to think negatively. And what I want people to understand is when you have these events that happen in your life, and the reason why I highlighted you is because, you know, we've had great conversations. And, you know, I want people to see the consistency, you know, because one of the things TJ said, and I'll let him talk about it, but I want people to consistently hear on this call about individuals who have had experiences in life, situations where the end result of what could have happened could have been tragedy, could have been death, but they were able to find a way to move forward in that and take that tragedy and transform it into something positive. And so my boy, my prayer partner, Milton, was just talking about, you know, his experiences and, you know, and his encounter with the FBI. And just to be very clear, he didn't really share a lot. I'm not going to share much more. But I want you to understand the importance of your decisions in the lives of others. Had he not had a winning hand strategy today, his twin would be here. Be alive. That's how serious this is. People just, you know, it's sort of, you know, two individuals who are on this earth right now, breathing, they wouldn't be here. If he would have took that adversity and he would have let, because the truth is, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
The FBI had all the cards. Bob had them in the hand. They had the cards.
And you did not win. They didn't have the kitty, huh?
You understand what I'm saying? Hey. And so,
wow.
So I just want to over and over again, and I need you guys, if you have a story, you have some level of adversity you've overcome, I need you to share it if you're on this call. And if you don't, then that's fine, but make sure you share this call, because that's what this call is about. It's not just about overcoming adversity. It's not about surviving adversity. It's about using adversity to be, do, and function in the way that you've been called. You get where I'm coming from? So that's what we were talking about, PJ, and I know you have an amazing story. So I just want to make sure that you know, we get an opportunity to share with everybody so they can hear these stories. So I don't know if you want to share, but you know, I just put you on blast because I know you know you drop a lot of knowledge.
Nothing else.
Start talking about divine order for me.
Oh, okay. I got you. I appreciate the vote of confidence. That's appreciated. When you were expressing your upcoming event, I said it's an event because it's an event in your life on Thursday, on the 12th. I think I might have mentioned to you that I was going to go to the doctor and I need to get my shoulder checked out. So I got the results today, and I need surgery on my shoulder. So,
we talked about that, right?
Yeah. So initially, you know, it like rolled right off. You know, it just rolled off. I was like, okay, it's nothing. So as little time went on, I was like, oh man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it, right? And I had a little battle with myself about, you know, just some noise, you know? It's just part of the necessary process that I eventually succumb to the logic and the reality and the fact that, you know, it's in divine order that I need to have it done. If I don't do this, this can give me some serious problems like later on. And it could be sooner than later. So that was just kind of heavy, and just kind of heavy on me. You know what I mean? I'm just glad I just like let it out just now. But Yeah, so we all have challenges, man. It's like I'm real grateful that I'm still here. It's like I'm also glad that I'm able to just kind of hear the echo of that, you know, in terms of how fortunate, you know, we are, especially some of us, you know, from some of our situations, you know, I've had like many close calls, you know, from being a child up. I was for anybody that doesn't know or anybody that does know, just a reminder that I was a childhood drug abuser. I started using drugs when I was about 10. And as a result of me using drugs, all the things associated with drugs I was involved with. So I started visiting institutions from the age of 12 to about 20. I never thought that I would see beyond about 40. So I'm sometimes just amazed that I'm in my mid-50s and I'm still here, and I'm real grateful. So it's like around the end of the third quarter for me, I guess, you know, middle to the end of the third quarter, you know, of my life. So yeah, it's like I got about one more quarter in the game, so I'm gonna finish up strong. So that's why I'm here to hone in and polish up, you know, what my gifts are to make the best of the rest of my life, you know, the best quarter, you know, there is, you know. Make the rest of my life the best of my life. So that's what I'm doing here right now.
Absolutely. Man, appreciate that. And Adrian, man, thank you for getting on the call, man. I know you say you got dropped off.
You got it, brother. Take care, man. All right, brother.
Cool,
love you.
Cool,
take care.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to, you know, I want to be respectful of time. We're going to let the last 15 minutes really be about giving people opportunities to share. If you want to share, you know, what stories you have about adversity you've overcome, if you want to give comments about what we've talked about, if you want to ask questions. But I just want to make sure that we really use this call as a platform and opportunity to help people, you know, not only to operate, you know, to know, master, and operate in their gifts, but also to understand the importance of adversity in that and just in victory in life in general. So, again, I want to open up the call for people. And I want to be very respectful of time because Kathleen is really, when she gets on the call, I'm always blessed because I know it's, you know, midnight to 1 o'clock in England. So the fact that she got on the call means a lot to us. So does anybody else have any comments, any stories they want to share? Come on, y'all. I know y'all got something I want to share.
Hey, Patrick, this is Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. I want to thank you personally. I think my own trials, what I had to go through health-wise, I know on your testimony, I leaned a lot on your testimony about what you had gone through even before what you're going through with the current bypass surgery that's coming up soon. But I had to have my kidneys failed in 2008, and they failed again in 2014. And in April of 2014, I had to go on to dialysis while waiting for a kidney transplant. And my testimony is that we had six people to try to register to be a kidney donor on my behalf, and all six of them were disqualified. So when we, my family and Patrick's family, we were praying about what to do, you know, there was this young lady who she was a Caucasian female. She was totally unrelated, and she was somehow she was a perfect match for me. My testimony is that my one surgery became five surgeries. My first year, my kidney tried to fail three times. So I went to spend about 6 weeks inside the hospital. But as of today, my kidney function is normal. I'm back at work. I'm able to use that story about how what happened with me as a platform. I was able to speak about it and give testimony, and I'm also able to mentor other transplant patients, from bone marrow transplant to heart to lung to kidney. I have people now that I spend time with to help them through a very similar situation. And I think the best advice that my medical team gave me is that you can live your life in one or two ways. You can really live it in light of the gift, or you can live it through the struggle. And she said that where you focus on for the next several years will determine how healthy you become. It's totally up to you. You got the gift, and so that's sort of my testimony. And I'm back at work. I survived it. I'm in almost perfect health. My kidney function is normal. And that's sort of my testimony I wanted to share as well.
Oh, hey, I apologize, Jamie. I was talking, and I had it on mute because I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying. What I was asking you, Jamie, is can you repeat what you just said, that quote you got from your medical team?
Oh, yeah. She said, you know, I received the transplant, so there's no reason for me not to be healthy. And she said, you can live it in light of your gift that you've been given, or you can live it in light of your struggle. She said it's going to take about 5 years to get in full recovery. She said, but that's no excuse for you not to live life. Do what you got to do. She said, you're going to be on some meds, but it's not going to be a big deal. Or you can focus on the fact that the struggles you have for the next few years while you're recovering, you can make them worse than it is. She said the struggle is just your body adapting to the new gift you've been given. Nothing more, nothing less. And she said the gift just comes with the struggle. But the struggle is evidence that you've been given a gift. Is not a reason for you to shut down, run, to give up, or anything like that.
Goodness gracious.
So this is 2 years, 2 years since I received my transplant. And after 1 year, Patrick, you were there. I got to give my testimony after 1 year. And after 2 years, I'm back at work full time and able to spend time with my family. But she said, you can live in life in light of the struggle or in light of the gift. It's totally up to you at this point.
Man, let me tell y'all something. This man, this is my cousin, y'all. This man never, not one single time. And I want to applaud his beautiful wife, which is my cousin. They were soldiers. They were soldiers. They were soldiers. And can I be honest with you, Jamie?
Yeah.
Because of the way, I just have to be honest with the way our family is.
Yeah,
you almost feel ashamed of yourself if you start whining and moaning about it and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, yo, you're not gonna get no sympathy up in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so I just want to tell you that you know you've been a blessing to me, and that kind of makes and you know that's what I hope that we can do for people through you know what I'm doing through your testimonies. And just help people to just understand that adversity, and let me highlight something to people, and so I can let you understand why, you know, I do this thing that I do and why I'm so passionate about it to this degree, because I've seen people who had far less struggles who quit, who gave up on life. Who committed suicide. And this is real talk. And so this is about, you know, as best as I can, the ability to speak life. Because, you know, in the life of those that I've known that have meant the world to me, I didn't do that to the degree that I felt that I should have. And, you know, I got somebody on the phone who's like a sister to me. She probably knows who I'm talking about. You know, those are the things that I think about, you know. So I want to make sure that, you know, we use our testimonies to speak life to people. Because once these people in your life are gone, there are no do-overs. You need to make sure that, you know, you work while it is day, because when it is night, no man can work. And so we're closing up on the end of the call. I hope that what we talked about was a blessing to you guys. Before we end, I sort of want to give my co-hosts, they've sort of been listening in, you know, some closing words, and then we'll end the call if they want to just share. I mean, Alan already dropped a major dime and Milton, and so we're going to let out of the four of us, you know, the smartest one and the best looking one is Alan's wife, so we're going to let her if she wants to share anything with us.
Hey guys, I just want to thank everybody for those powerful testimonies and just let you all know that whatever you are walking through, it's going to be a testimony for someone in the future to make them better, to make them bolder, to make them greater. So I know that all of you have great gifts in store for you, and I want you guys to stay tuned for the Your Gifts Conference, because we know our brother Pete is going through this surgery. He's going through his testimony right now, but on the other side is the Your Gift Conference, and we can't wait to see you.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Kathleen, thank you for staying up with
you. Kathleen.
Kathleen, you still up?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to give everybody one last chance. I see some people out here. You know, I got some people in here I love to death, so y'all, I want to give y'all an opportunity to, if y'all had any last things you want to say before we close the call out, please do. All right.
Hey, man, it's TJ, man. Looking forward to seeing you soon, brother.
All right. I appreciate that, man. I'm gonna, I'm probably going to Facebook Live, you know, once they, well, nah. I'm going to wait till I'm presentable. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
I most definitely will Facebook Live, presentable or not, on Sunday if the Cowboys win. I might have oxygen tank on here. I'd be like, I need you to slip my Dorset jersey on me. So, y'all have a great day. I pray and I hope that something we said was beneficial to you in some way. God bless. I love y'all, and y'all have a great day.
You too.
You too.